Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 616. 617, I'm sorry. 616 was right before Christmas. It's the start of season 14. And I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'd just like to support our congressman, for when he said Jewish, he actually meant Jew-ish.
Like, kind of like a Jew?
Yes.
It's sad that that is like the... That's only like a week old, but that is like...
story, it's like gone. It's like gone. Although you could see him sitting in the chamber and no one will talk to him.
Well, no. So when
he's a leper.
What's the call was talking to him today? Marjorie Taylor Greene. So I mean, that
probably forgot who he was.
I mean, that also makes sense. Scam artists represent scam artists.
I think I saw somebody like go up and like he was just standing there by himself. We're talking about Santos, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I think he was like standing there by himself or sitting in like one of the other like. More senior guys comes up and like introduces himself, and as soon as he introduces himself, like the other guy just disappeared. He's like, I don't want to be seen with you.
Well, there was that part where they were calling his name, and they like called it several times.
And he didn't respond.
Is that not really his name? Like, yeah. Is he actually someone else?
I mean, at this point, I would not be surprised.
Earl is here as well.
Well, before we start this podcast, I need to call to order. I think we should, our nominees in for Speaker of the Podcast. And I would like to nominate the gentleman from the great state of California, Mr. Kevin McCarthy. I think he's got a chance of winning this one.
Jeff, what would you like to vote on that?
You don't have the votes!
Sorry, Earl. Kevin McCarthy does not have the votes to be Speaker of the Podcast.
He's got the votes. What do we need to give him? I mean, what do we need to give you, Jeff? Name it. You want naming rights for the podcast? You got it. You want to host the podcast? You want to cancel the podcast? You whatever. Just tell me.
Tell me what I have to fuck.
Jeff is here as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is 2023 and it feels like it's been a year already. And we're only 5 days in. So we're going to recap 2022 before our 2022 Game of the Year podcast next week. But before that, I think there's like three games we should probably talk about that we played over the break. And get some fresh perspectives on it and maybe a fully fresh perspectives on one game because I don't think any of us played it until the break. But let's start out with Tony's game. Tony, you got any more on Midnight Suns?
I'm adoring this game. I'm pretty far now. Getting closer. Like, at least it seems like I'm an inflection point in the story. I know there's still like a lot left, but I've gotten pretty far, and I've recruited all but I think there's two more heroes that I have to meet, and then we'll be in the end game. But
okay.
I'm really enjoying it so much. It's like, I saw somebody, and I like this comparison. They're like, it's sort of like Mass Effect. I think it was Daxter who said it. And it's true. You spend a lot of time going around, finding your companions, trying to help them out, developing their stories, and having these quest lines along with them. While playing this really fun, really intricate card game. I like it the more I play it. Like, you learn how the cards work, you learn how to, like, use the environment to do even more damage, and just kind of get your characters, like, flowing together. The more you develop their relationships, the more you unlock these combo cards, which are, like, really awesome looking combo attacks that do huge amounts of damage. And it just, the farther you get on through all of these storylines, it just all comes back together. Like, so you're not just walking around talking to people. Like, there is an end. There's like a benefit to doing that. And that directly affects the gameplay. And I think that it's really cool how it's all woven together. The story is really interesting. I think the first time I talked about the game, I complained about like the, you're in like this, they call it the Abbey. It's this area where you explore. And I think I complained about it. But then as you explore this area, you discover stuff that's interesting and cool and has little stories woven into it. It's actually worthwhile exploration as opposed to just, you know, trying to find stuff on the ground. Although you can do that too, which, whatever. But I am really sad that this game came out at the end of the year like it did. Because it's probably the best strategy game I played all year. And it's also super accessible in a way that, you know, most strategy games are not. Because, you know, anybody can play a card game. And the way it, like, starts off small and builds means even without a tutorial, it kind of functions as its own tutorial. As it builds up and you get to a point where you're doing awesome stuff all the time, it always looks really cool and fun. So I think this game is super awesome. It's really like climbing up the rankings for me. And it's really made this year a lot better. Because it wasn't very good before.
Good. It's one I am looking at.
That sounds like maybe, a ringing endorsement.
Maybe getting later in the new year. There's a lot of stuff coming out.
It's time consuming. Like it's going to take, I don't know how much time I put into it so far. It wouldn't shock me. It was 20, 25 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's a lot of play. So if you're playing other stuff alongside it, you might not, you know, want to get it right now. But
yeah.
I was going to say the positive is it does seem like it's going on sale in a couple of places.
Yeah.
Which I mean, again, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm all for cheaper games. But I do find it weird that like, nobody's been able to kind of crack the fact that you have like the hottest IP in the world and you can't sell a video game of it. Between this and Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, yes, you can denote that, you know, Avengers was not what you would call a good game. But
yeah, but like the IP itself should just attract people to it. Midnight Suns is maybe a little bit
more obscure, and like, I don't think any of the characters are really in the MCU.
No, they are. Iron Man's in it. Doctor Strange.
Oh, okay.
Spider-Man. Like there's the Avengers are there. Like Captain Marvel is there, but it's also the Midnight Suns themselves are a much like more obscure team because it's like. It's Ghost Rider, but not that Ghost Rider. It's like the lesser known Ghost Rider. Blade, Magic.
I'm very curious now because I'm like, Nico. I know what you mean. But I'm like, I don't know if anybody would know who Ghost Rider is. In terms of like, if you were to say who's the actual Ghost Rider was, I might be like, yeah, it's so and so. Like, I assume it's probably what Robbie Reyes
or it is Robbie Reyes.
Yes, but I don't know if anybody can actually name. Look, it's Chris and Jeff. Can you name who Ghost Rider is?
Nick Cage.
Correct, but
that's all I know about Ghost Rider.
You're not incorrect.
You don't know Johnny Blaze. Come on, you gotta know Johnny Blaze.
I've heard the name. Like it was never a character. Like I was like, oh, I'm gonna get into these guys.
Johnny Blaze does make a cameo at the beginning of the game, but then he leaves. He's like, I don't want to work with you guys. Fuck off.
So I'm looking in Wikipedia, and they are saying, Ghost Riders, Danny Ketch, and Johnny Blaze, and Morbius, were the original team, I guess. Is Blade and Morbius in this? Like, do you play as
Morbius is not in this. Blade is.
I can't imagine why poor Morbius. Like, he was in the big movie of 2022. I mean, if you ignore, like, a lot of other movies that came out, but it was up there.
It gets referenced.
One of the movies that came out this year, last year.
Yes, he was in a movie that came out last year. Okay. Well, yeah, I don't know who the Midnight Suns are. So,
I don't think, because I will be honest, I didn't know who they were either. But like, I do know, like, I think Wolverine's the cover artist and stuff like that. It's, and I think they did a new comic book that launched around this game. Well, not around it, because timing in this is super weird in comic books. I think it launched like several months ago, but.
Okay, so I'm looking at the cover now. It's a Ghost Rider, Blade, Iron Man, Wolverine, and some, that Wasp? Or is that supposed to be the player
Hero.
Character? Anyway, yeah, it is weird that they can't sell that. I bet the Marvel game that comes out in this year will sell real well, though.
What is the Marvel game? Oh, Spider-Man
2.
Yes, that's... Spider-Man's a whole different piece. It's like Batman. It's like, yes. They count, but they don't count the same way, because it's just has his shoulder above everybody else in popularity.
Interested to see how... Well, I guess we didn't really get word on how Gotham Knights sold, but I'm interested to see how that Suicide Squad kills the Justice League.
Yeah, somebody pointed out that comes out soon, and we have not. Wow. Okay. Because it comes out in April, right?
Okay. I thought it was maybe later in the year, but May 26th, it says.
Okay, May. Which is still soon.
Yeah.
And like, we've seen the game several times, but to their credit, I really still don't understand how the multiplayer works. Because it looks like everything points to like a games as service. But I don't think they've said as much.
I assume it would be something like Gotham Knights, but who knows? But yeah, I'm interested to see how that sells, because it's kind of like Batman adjacent, but guess it's officially an Arkham entry, according to this Wikipedia entry. The fifth main installment in the Batman Arkham series. Oh. So, all right. Well, so that is Midnight Suns. I don't know if Tony got to try it. He said he was installing it, but the rest of us have played a little indie game called Vampire Survivors.
Yeah, I installed it. I haven't played it yet.
I'm really not sure how you're going to react to that.
I was going to say, what are you going to call it? Because I don't think anyone justified. Because I think, we had this discussion when people were posting tips. I'm like, I don't know what this game is. I still don't know what this game is, but it's a ton of fun. So that counts for something.
Jeff, do you have an explanation for what Vampire Survivors is?
Oh, it's like a roguelike, right? Like you're trying to see how long you can last.
Even roguelikes are weird because like it's not a genre. It's a type.
I think it's, to me, it reminds me very much of like an arcade type game.
Does.
That's what the whole genre of roguelikes remind me of, kind of. Like,
that's
why I don't understand why you guys don't like them. It's like you hate them so much. It's see how far you could go, how high score you could get.
Well, I was gonna say, because roguelikes are, because it's a weird, because it's more like roguelikes are more of a medium than a genre, because like, what was it? Dead Cells is different than like Slay the Spire, which is different than Hades.
Yeah.
And those are all kind of roguelikes. But that's what I mean. Because when I saw it, I'm like, this is a twin six shooter, but you don't do anything because it plays like those old games, except you're walking. And it's like, yes, it's very weird. And it's set up.
You're just kind of moving around the environment. Yeah,
Tony, have you seen the game? Like, have you seen footage of the game, Tony?
No. Well, no, I've seen clips.
So yeah. It's like, you know, it's like a top-down, you know, kind of action-y game. But the neat thing is, like, I think the honestly one of the best things about the game is that, like, you're not controlling the attacks. They're auto-attacking at all points. So you're just kind of...
You're moving around trying to position yourself.
Yeah, and seeing what you could find and picking from, you know, just kind of like a slot machine quality to the upgrades you'll get, and you know, kind of pick from the best, like, you know, you'll get like, every time you level up, you'll get like three or four options of what weapon you want or what like kind of perk do you want, and you have to choose one out of those. And so it's like, can you build your character smart enough to last the 30 minutes? You don't have to go all the way 30 minutes to, I don't think, really to beat the level, but yeah, I get pretty far to fight like the boss of the level. I think what, 25 minutes usually the boss pops out.
Yeah, the boss of the level pops out at 25. They count the level as completed at 30, and you get like some other unlocks at 30, and yeah. Then beating the final level at 30, you then have to like jump through some hoops, but then you do it again and you fight like a final boss in a different arena.
Get a bunch of like bonus levels and stuff too. So I'm like, I can't even call where the end of the game is. I'm like, I don't know.
There's what it's called, Kappa Magella or something like that. It's it's the fifth normal level.
Yeah,
and then
okay.
DLC. And
DLC.
Like,
you want to hear something great? I played Kappa Magella. You want to know when I died? Like 29:59 I said that level's beat. Fuck you.
So you beat it. It unlocks like another area that you go in and you get this thing called the yellow sign. And then if you play that like, level again, like you have like, to beat the boss again, get through the 30. Then it like warps the screen a bit, and you're fighting like this giant death guy. But you can actually damage him. Unlike the other death that shows up at 30.
Apparently you can damage him.
You can beat him. There's a way to do it. Just yeah, you have to you have to come up with a build that can actually, you know, slow him down so you can do damage to him.
I do like that the game kind of like initially seems like it looks like really short, but you can kind of keep getting more stuff. Like, oh, I guess it's not over. I guess there's a fifth level. Oh, I guess there's bonus levels. I guess there's this.
And then it's like, oh, all these characters, and then like all this weird combination of like attach this and attach that, and this will create this thing, this mega weapon, and you want to get a bunch of mega weapons.
Yeah, it's like that's what I put, like the weapon evolutions are kind of like what I, because like you're trying to match up. All right, so I want, you know, the whip, but I need the heart, because then if I get that, then it basically gives me. Every time I slash the whip, it gives me eight while back on the health. And
I didn't realize that you had to pair the weapon with something to fully evolve it at first. Now, I was fully evolving weapons just by accident, but it shows you, like, if you choose this perk, it'll say Evo, and then it shows you an icon of what it pairs with.
Well, I think after you unlock it, it tells you the formula for it.
Yes.
So, for instance, Tony, one of the weapons you get is just like a knife that you throw out, right? And it attacks the enemy. And then when you upgrade it, you have two knives. When you upgrade it, you have three knives. You upgrade again, the knives throw faster. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it keeps going. And if you fully evolve the weapon, like at least the ones I've evolved, it's just like continuous knives. Like, the knives never stop throwing.
Yep. And that is so great, just... because a lot of enemies have pushback. So, like, you can push back and then get some space. And then, like, the one I use, and I heard it's one of the weaker ones after a while, is I fully evolved the Garlic, and the Garlic creates basically like a perimeter around you if people touch you. Like, if people get close to you, it does some damage. So, it does it like where it's just like a full circle around you. So, like, the first time I got it was on that second stage with, like, the, I don't know, the Bloody Marys who charge at you and explode. So my circle was so wide, they couldn't get anywhere near me. And then, like, when the serpents or witches would come, like, I would just aim my knives because it has such pushback that they couldn't actually move. And if they ever got killed, then the circle would push them back, and then the knives would still be there.
And then each of the levels has like relics on them that you can find, and they unlock like permanent unlocks for you. There are like there's a bunch of things that if you unlock, like you can then start getting. It's called Arcana, which like gives you a card at the beginning, and that gives you like a buff that you can use. And if you kill an enemy, they'll drop purple chests, and you'll get another card. You can have up to three there, so you can get like these crazy buffs.
That's kind of a later game.
Yeah, it's late
though. Like early on though, or throughout the game, you are leveling yourself up. So like,
yeah.
Even, you know, say you make it 10 minutes in the first level and you die, you're going to have some money and you can level yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gets to, I like the game a lot. I really do. It's going to end up being on my top 10 list. But, like, I cooled on it a little bit for, like, two reasons. I think the most fun I had with this game was playing level one. And it's because... You had to really work at it at first. Like, I'd last 10 minutes, I'd last 12 minutes, I'd last... Sometimes I'd die in the first 7 minutes, whatever, right? But by the time I beat level one, I'd kind of leveled up almost everything, and so then, the rest of the game was not as it's weird. Yeah. It's like the whole arc of your character, at least... not the whole arc, but a lot of it, seems to happen in... It happened there for me anyways. I wasn't, you know, I didn't like breeze through level one.
I guess to your point, that is very much a roguelike thing, because like what happens with roguelikes is one, you cut your teeth on that first level because you're going to pay so much. No, that's when you can actually pick the levels once you unlock the other ones. But also because there's an upgrade system, like a permanent upgrade system. So you can get like, you know, going into upgrades, it's like you'll always shoot two projectiles to start with. Or you have an increased movement speed, or you'll get more XP, so you'll level up faster than the apple. And like because you do the first level so often, you unlock you'll get gold and you unlock stuff. Like the later levels, they have those challenges, but it's like some of that is like, oh, like my core character in a position where I can't deal with this.
My other thing with it too is, again, there's just like just an initial wow factor of the game. Like I really like fell in love with the game very quick, and then it's like. As I go on, I'm like, when you're on a winning run, you kind of know, like 10 minutes in, you're like, okay, got this. It can make the next 20 minutes kind of boring. Like, it's like, oh, yeah. I'm just standing around watching me destroy everything. And it's like, it feels long, dude. Like, the last 10 minutes, like, you will run into danger in the last 10 minutes. Sometimes when they, like, really bombard you, and you're like, oh, fuck. But sometimes not, but it's just like it is a lot of like, kind of. Again, I'm not. I think it's a really cool game. Like it's just, but like those are the two flaws for me. Like the things that hold it back from being like the best thing ever. But it's really fun. It's a really nice surprise late in the year. Kind of came out of nowhere.
It's weird. It's been out since like March.
Yeah. But it's like it's just got its attention late in the year because it did its like console releases or whatever. I was very, you know, it's so funny. I liked this so much. I was like, oh, I'm going to get this on fucking the Switch. Couldn't believe this game is not on the Switch, dude. What are you doing?
So I played it on PC. Like there are points when it weirdly chugs my PC.
Yeah.
You look at the kill count, and you can see that at some point it gets to be hundreds of creatures. I mean, again, I think the Switch can handle it, but yeah, I assume it's probably prioritized for that.
Hopefully they're working on it, because such a perfect, like, you're watching football or something and play that with it on the Switch. Oh, my God, dude.
Because, I mean, it is, like, to your point, it gets to a point where it's like, because really most of the strategy comes from positioning yourself if you know your weapons. It's like, okay, where can I go? Okay, I got to move around to get some of those shiny orbs to upgrade.
I'm so set on what my weapons are. Like, I never vary.
Well, I was going to say...
It's like they won't give me what I want.
You can get like, stuff that, like, lets you reroll, and you can actually banish full weapons. Like, I don't want the axe to ever show up. Like,
really? So, that's one of mine.
No, like if that was like one you didn't want, like I don't want the axe, so like you just banish it, and it takes your turn for selecting one, but next time up, and every time up after that, like you'll never see the axe in that round.
Wait, how do you banish weapons?
So you have to like do a bunch of like there's like all these unlocks you get for, you know, beating, like getting, you know, to level 80 with certain characters, or beating 30 minutes, or getting to 31 minutes in some of the levels. So if you do that, like you get the, you get rerolls and banishments and skips, and it's all like stuff that, like, so you can basically make any, you know, setup you want.
You know, it's funny. You just reminded me, like, I've only ever played that one character, like the Castlevania looking character.
Okay, the first guy, Antonio.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I was going to say, because you mentioned, like, you know, like 10 minutes into your run, like, oh, you're doing, like, I, because I like to try new characters. There are certain characters where I'm like, oh, your starting weapon's so bad, it's going to take me forever to get going. And those kind of suck, because, like early on, a lot of the early creatures are just kind of there for you to grind XP. But then, like, there's, like, the one who throws the bone, and I'm like, the bone is like a random direction. So suddenly, like, I can situate myself in a place where, because the bone's actually, it gets going because it bounces between enemies.
Do the other characters, though, like, they get, like, the Bible, the cross, and, like, all that stuff.
Like, they have, like, all, like,
they just have a different starter.
Yeah, well, they have a different starter, and then they have different stats. So, like, there's one character who's, like, their starting stat is, like, they have a huge area of effect radius for their thing. One of the guys who starts with a knife, he gets two projectiles at the start instead of one.
And he's like, he has more hit points, and he's strong. He doesn't take as much damage right off the bat.
I always have two projectiles. I put that shit on right away.
Yeah, but I mean,
see a duplicator, like a double, I'm grabbing that fucking duplicator.
So Jeff, like, so for that, it was like, if you already have, like,
starting with two, three,
starting with an extra, like, so, like, he's always, like, starting out even stronger from there.
My thing is, like, I'm still messing with, like, all the bonus levels and this and that, and I want, like, there's two levels. Like I said, the one level I've got the 2959. So once I get, like, everything done, then I'll start playing with the other characters more. I just feel like I'm so set in stone with what I know with this guy or whatever. Like,
which is fair, because I think the whip is also a really good weapon, starting weapon.
I didn't like it at first, but, like, if, you know.
I almost always, like, even if I'm playing another character, I try to get the whip and the heart.
Oh, so you could get that character, you could get the whip as another character.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All of those weapons are weapons you start off.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, so, like, they're all so, like, and as you play them, when you play them, or you get, like, you know, some, like, you don't have a lot of the unlocks because you're only playing as Ant. I think it's what Antonio is the first guy. As you play as the other ones. You'll get, like, if you play 5 minutes as Poe or whatever, you'll unlock, like, something in your unlock section, and that'll show up in your randomizer. So, like, you can end up playing any of the characters and always have the whip and always have the heart showing up.
Okay. I think, pretty great game, especially, like, what is even, like, paid price is like $5 or something.
$5. I ended up buying on, like, it's like $4 if you buy it with the Game Pass discount.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that game, I'd say that'd be a game that's worth $20. It's, you know, it's a fun game.
It's a ton of fun. It's very simple, but I think part of it, because I was comparing to a friend, like, I've started a lot of games and I just haven't had the motivation. I think, because the runs can be, like, I mean, at most, the run's going to be half an hour. I mean, unless you really, really find, and even then, if you, like, apparently if you don't kill the Grim Reaper right away, more than just on every minute. So,
yes. Although there, at some point, you can actually get it, so you just unlock endless mode.
Yeah.
And the Grim Reaper never shows up. So then the enemies just get, like, twice as hard. But it resets at, like, 30. So, like, you'll get back that, whatever that first wave is, they'll be back, but they'll be twice as strong. So the end enemies are now also twice as strong.
Chris has played the fuck out of this game. Jeez.
Because, again, I think it's really fun. Like, again, like, it's just like, oh, I got like 20 minutes. I can do a run. And, like, the thing is, like, I say 20 minutes, and it's like, okay, I'm going to do one run. And it's like, oh, no, this one's going really well. And it's going to turn into a half an hour thing.
The funny thing is, it was like when I first downloaded it, and because this is my thing with Game Pass, is I will easily discard something. I'm like, whatever. Like, you know, when I first downloaded it and loaded it up, like, I think the title screen looks really cheap. What is this?
Yeah.
And then you go to play it, and it's like, I've seen this before, you know, oh, it's another roguelike thing, like, oh. But it quickly, like, I don't know, within like a half hour of playing it, I was like, yeah, this is pretty cool. I think you kind of had the same reaction to at first, Chris. You're just like, it seems all right. Like, I don't know, like.
Yeah, because like, I was like, I just want to be able to attack, and then looks like.
It's, I think that's the brilliance of the game, though. Even right away, I thought that was the neat thing. Like, I was like, oh, that's kind of neat that, like, it just does it for you. And it seems counterintuitive, but it's just like, I just think it's like a neat idea. Like, oh,
yeah, once you get used to it, it's fine, right?
So like, it's just about, like, thinking about how you want to build it out. Like, you know, and it's just going to do it for you. Like, yeah, you have to have situational awareness and okay, where are the enemies attacking from, or where do I want to go? Like, but yeah, I think that's like one of my favorite things about the game.
Yeah, it took me like maybe an hour or two. And I was like, you know, once you, I think Earl said, like, once you get that first, you clear that first level, you're like, I got it now. I understand what this is. Like,
yeah, but also for me personally, like, that was kind of the peak. That was kind of like, when I beat that first level, I was like, oh my God. Like, that was when I was like most enthusiastic about the game. I think that's why I was trying to like turn you guys on to that game and stuff. And then
play the Bone there, Zone.
Like, it's cool. What?
Play the Bone Zone.
The Bone Zone?
The Bone Zone. That one is it's difficult.
Okay. I play this Bone Zone as often as I can, let me tell you.
Going to the Bone Zone.
There's the Bone Zone, and there's a level called the Boss Rash, which is you are in a cube, and like only bosses show up. Like, they'll have, like, little sub-bosses that you can kill to gain orbs, but then, like, there's, like, you know, the big guys that show up that take a lot of hits. So, like, you're kind of dodging around them. And there's some fun, challenging levels. And actually, if you get, I think it's called inverse mode, you make everything harder, too. So, I didn't realize that. And I was trying, there's an achievement for getting to level 80 in the tower in inverse mode, and like I was just getting slaughtered. I didn't clear the level. I think I got like 27 minutes in, but I still didn't. I was not anywhere close to 80. It gets, some of that stuff gets tough, but
it's also funny because like when you do, I forget what it is. It might be 75 or so, but you get to a point where it's like you got all the upgrades too. We're just gonna give you gold. Yes.
It's like, do you want money or floor chicken?
Yeah, I said, like, I'm doing well with health. I'll just give me that gold. So you're like 25. And I'm like, yep, I'm just killing everything here. So let me get that sweet, sweet gold.
You get that, like, the magnet thing and just brings all the orbs into you.
Yeah.
It's like level. Fun stuff. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that next week. The other thing, Tony played, like, what, an hour of
Elden Ring. God help me. I knew, Jeff, the worst thing that could happen with Elden Ring for you was for me to actually play it. I started it, and then I'm running through, like, it gives you the story overview, except there's not really a story. It's really, like, contrived. And then it kind of just drops you into this world. And I played through the tutorial, and I'm starting to remember the gameplay from the other games. And, like, as you play through the tutorial, you kind of get that sense that this play is very, very much like they play.
Yeah, like Dark Souls, yes.
Like Dark Souls. And then, you know, you walk out of the tutorial, and you end up on that elevator. You go up, and it releases you out into the world. And you see this great big world, and it kind of just drops you there. And you have no idea where to go or what to do. You don't really even really know what your role in this whole thing is.
You're just tarnished.
Yeah, but what does that mean even? Like, I have no idea.
Like you're like a lowly, you're nothing.
What does that mean? Like, nothing compared to what? Like, what is this world? And so, you know, I start to wander off, and there's that knight guy who's hanging out. I don't even know what he's like riding a horse.
Yep, he's just there. He's asshole just there. On a horse.
Yep. I'm like, all right, I'm going to try to kill him. Of course, he kills me almost
instantly.
Yeah, I did send you a note, Tony, that said, don't fight him.
No. Here's the thing, though.
Don't fight anything.
I literally sent like, like five tips.
No. I didn't read any of them, Jeff. I didn't read a single one of them. And the reason is this: you should not have to have tips from someone who already played the game to play through the first 5 minutes of a game.
Well,
That is an utter failure of game design.
Well,
it is.
If you say so,
you shouldn't have to go out and read a treatise in order to play through the opening of a game.
Okay.
Which is what you have to do with this fucking game. So, I decide, I'm going to leave the knight alone because obviously he's going to fuck my world up.
Okay, so you learned something there.
I walk past him. You go past, there's a guy who has a little stand who's selling stuff. Go past him. I kill some guys. I come to a mountain and there's this little tunnel.
No.
I'm going to go into the tunnel.
The fucking troll tunnel.
I don't even know if it's a tunnel or a cave. I don't know, because I walk down, and there's two ways to go. There's this thing where you can see this little animal, and there's a tunnel going down to the right, like a stairway. So I walk into the room with the thing, and I immediately die. Like, this stupid little furry thing kills me, and then two other ones almost immediately.
Yeah, I didn't like them either. The little gargoyle goblin things.
Yeah, but of course my corpse is sitting there and it has like money and stuff. I don't even know, like, you can go like get the stuff.
Yeah, you go back to your corpse.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, I should probably try to go there. So I try to sneak in, die again, because you know they jump out and kill you. I think I died there three times before giving up. And then I kind of wandered around and did others. But by this time, I'm so pissed off. I'm like, why am I even playing this game? I don't really enjoy the gameplay. There's no story. Like, what is the hook for me at this point? And the hook is, I'm going to play because Jeff thinks this is a great game. That is the only reason I'm here, Jeff. I'm here for you. I am an Elden Ring for you. But at this point, that's not a
story. Weirdly doesn't pick up till you... You have to go like through a cavern where his troll is, and so and this was a problem that I had with it too, and like Jeff knows because he was finally like, stop trying to fight that, you're never going to take him down.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Logically, yeah, at some, like you showed me, like
maybe
you
were one day,
but like logically to me, it's like this thing is in front of me, the thing that is pointing me in the direction is saying go this way.
You know, we've discussed these games before, and I think one of the conclusions I came to with you guys is that you're playing it a little wrong like that. And I do it too. I did it too, especially very early on. When you get to a new area, you were like, I have to kill everything here and clear it out. But the more fun way to play these games is to just run around. Like, fuck everything and see what you could pick up, like cool shit you could find. Like, run past guys. Okay, what's that shiny object? Get that. And then get your way through the levels, and then go fight the boss, and then you're gonna level up off the bosses. When you come back to those areas later, you're gonna be able to fuck those guys. Those guys are nothing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's like it logically to me, it doesn't make
sense. Yeah, you think I'm supposed to kill here, and it's like,
I end up just banging my head against the wall like a lot of times with it. Yeah, I think I was doing a little bit better, you know. With you there, like watching you play,
I see the levels as like mazes that you have to kind of get through, and a lot of times it's about avoiding like these guys, like, you know what I mean. And then again, like, because I don't want to have to like clear out every enemy in a room, then go clear out every enemy in the next room, and then oh fuck, I died and I lost everything. You're like, god damn it! Instead, I'd rather explore the level,
and now they're all back.
Do puzzles. You know, just run. You know, run past them and kill who you have to, and get stuff and go to the boss. And that is where you like have your fun and fucking kill the boss, and then you level up a bunch. And then you know you could go. You know, ideally you'll have found most of the shit anyways because you're just fucking getting sneaking past guys and running past them and shit. But so I get that the thing where you're just like, fuck.
Yeah, you just die whenever you.
Yeah, kind of a little slack here, Tony, is like at the beginning of a game like this, like I think in a lot of RPGs, you're supposed to start weak and get stronger. So it's not like, you know, if you walk into here and die, you'd be like, oh, fuck this, I'm fucking so pissed.
But what is guiding you along in those games? Like there's some sort of thing that you're supposed to be doing. And here it's just like, I'm supposed to walk around until I find something on the ground.
So from those, like, from the campfires, Tony.
Yeah,
there's a yellow thing that like, so that was kind of like, I was like, all right, it's pointing me that way. That was kind of how I approached it.
I think they're good enough designers that they don't even need to put those yellow things because you guys both kind of ended up in the same area. You both.
Well, no, Tony ended up in the cave.
I know, but he's north. He didn't go south. He went north.
No,
he went north initially.
But I also think that's because of, you know, you come out of that, you come out of your thing, it makes you walk around, and then there's like that guy there to talk to, and then off on the right is the big knight guy. So it's like, this is the way I'm supposed to go.
Yeah, because I can't fight the knight guy. I have to avoid him. So I'm going to go this other way.
And the funny thing is, like, the reason that knight guy is there to teach you that sometimes you're not ready for things. They're not going to come out and tell you, hey, sometimes you are not ready to fight the enemy, so you have to come back later. But that's what he's there at the very beginning of the game to show you. The reason I told you guys to avoid fighting him is because I know you guys would try to fight him and be like, this game sucks.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I will try to fight.
So it's a game that's going to teach you things instead of telling you things. And I'm here like kind of because I want you guys to give the game more of a chance. And I know the reaction you guys... Because I had that mindset, too, way back when I first started playing these games. It's like, I have to kill everything I see. And why can't I kill them? This game sucks. And it's like, no, maybe you don't. Like, if you play them enough, the game's going to teach you everything you need to know without, you know, over-explaining it to you. Like, you'll figure it out. But I kind of figured that's what happened with Toby. And I'm like, he did not read the fucking little note I sent him, little five-point thing.
Well, again, I don't think you should have to read.
You don't, though. You would, but like I knew that you would just. I knew that I knew what your reaction would be. So that's why I sent you.
Sorry, Jeff. Sorry.
Yeah, but then, like, it is like weirdly cryptic, right? Like where, like, Jeff, where you were like, oh, you need to keep talking to them because, like, if you talk to them like 2-3 times, like they're gonna give you the item you need from them.
Or like, tell you something, or and that is something that like I feel like it is more new to this one because you feel like you talk to the. It's not like a dialogue heavy type of game, right? It's like you figure if you talk to someone, they're gonna tell you what needs to be said, and that's it. But it's like, no, you gotta talk to them again, again, again. Sometimes they might go, oh, and here you go. Here's a whole new level. You could, like, sometimes they'll open up a fucking level for you. Like, you're like, oh, if I wouldn't have talked to you again, I would have missed this whole part of the game.
Yeah. And so it was like, yeah, you were like, oh, talk to that lady in the barn. I was like, but I did. Like, no, you gotta keep talking to her, and she'll eventually give you something, which is gonna be really useful to you. But it's like, ah!
There's certain things too, like I told you to. Have you even been to the fucking round table, like your place where you could go level up? That certain things that, like, if you don't do it the way I was telling you, the game will just give, like, eventually be like, all right, he's not gonna get it, and then they'll just come and visit you at a bonfire and be like, there you go, like you. Here's the thing that you would have found another way, but we're gonna give it to you anyway. Like the ability to there's a quest in the first level where you're at, Chris, that you do for this lady, and then that makes her come to your round table, and you could go talk to her, and she'll level up your summons, you know, so you can make your jellyfish, or you have a few now that you haven't even used yet. You can make them stronger or whatever. But if you don't do that quest for her, I think she just eventually shows up at the round table anyways, because they're like, ah, you missed that. Like, it was easy enough to miss. I'm glad you're liking it, Tony. I hope you keep playing.
No. There are other games I'd rather spend my time on, but I may go back. I may give it more time, but it's going to require me being in a very specific mood.
Yes. I 100% agree with that.
And I think that's probably my biggest problem with this series. Like, I play video games for very, you know, it's to de-stress at the end of the day, to, you know, get away from, like, how hard things are around me. And when you're playing something where the biggest mechanic in the game is failure, that's not why I'm here. That's not why I'm playing a game. And I think that's probably my biggest problem with the whole series. Like, it's just that does not just mesh with why I'm sitting down to play a video game.
Yeah, it's not that the game itself is bad. Like, it is designed a very specific way, and it works for somebody like Jeff or Walt or Sean and a ton of other people. Like, I mean, the game sold ridiculously well.
I mean, I don't have a ton of time to sit down and play games. So, like, if I'm going to sit down and play for a couple of hours, I want to have achieved something. I want to know what that is. And, like, I don't want to have died, like, 16 times.
I get what Jeff says. Like, you are achieving something. Like, every time you die, you're learning. Like, but it's like, but I'm not moving forward. And, like, that's how I gauge.
Yeah.
I just don't have the patience.
I'll say one thing. Well, in response to that, you are moving forward, Chris. You've killed a ton of shit. And you've moved forward a lot. So I don't know. I don't think I've seen you fail that much.
I just don't feel like
I've seen you face one boss that you have not killed, and that was the one we fought together and died. And we're just like, fuck it. Like, other than that, every boss you've gotten to, you've killed. And some of them I was like kind of surprised because you're underleveled. And I watch you play. And you play it just fine. Like, you understand what you're doing. You forget.
Yeah, it's like
forgetting. You sometimes forget to summon your summons, or I don't think I've ever seen you use the one flash that gives you a buff against the bosses.
No, I always forget that's there. It's like
there's also probably things that you could attach, like talismans you probably have not equipped. But you're making progress and you're doing fine. Again, there's like two things that I'm like, the one thing is, like, you don't have to kill everything if you don't want to, like, especially, like, if you're in a cave and there's a bunch of dogs attacking you or something, yeah, you gotta kill them, because, like, they're gonna hound you, where you're at now, because you're at the first level of the game, like, in Stormvale Castle, there's parts of that, like, you'd be insane to try to kill everything, like, you gotta run past it, keep that in mind.
So, and like, the other thing is, like, you were like, oh, like, you should be level 30 to, like, and, like, I'm, like, level, what, 24 or something at that, and that was after beating that boss with you. So it's like, I'm, like, way under, but, like, that's how you gain levels, right? Like, you kill things, you grab their souls, you sit the bonfire. It's like, how do I get up to level 30 so I'm ready to approach this?
Well, there's more catacombs and stuff for you to do. There's tons that, like, south of the castle, like the whole southern island. There's a bunch. I mean, there's parts that you can access already that you have not even seen, like the hellscape I was telling you about. But, you know, another thing is, hey, take 15 minutes and find a spot like that where those, right before you fight Margit, those guards, you can kill those all easily. They have their backs to you. Do that, level up 4 times off of that. It takes like 10 or 15 minutes, and then you'll be there. But the other thing, one other thing I noticed is that you, like, don't often, like, you kind of ignore the messages that people leave you. Like, some of those messages are like, if you see a spot where there's a bunch of, like, white signs on the ground, then there's a reason people are leaving the messages there and they're trying to tell you something. But I think the biggest thing is, you play the game too far apart. You're so early in the game that you wait a week or whatever to play it again. You're like,
yeah, I think that comes back to, like, what Tony was saying. Like, I just need to be in, like, the right mood to play it.
Yeah, like, you're like, because, you know, you gotta be playing it like you're playing through a game. Like, so when you play it once a week, I mean, I don't know about you guys, I don't play a game once a week. Like, I'm playing a game, it's like I'm playing it every day or every other day.
Yeah, but like that's right. Like so, like when you're playing Elden Ring, though, you're hooked into it, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm not like I have no desire to go back. So it's like,
but when you are going back, there's like this reacquainting thing where you're like getting
used. Yeah, it takes like a half hour to figure out. Like, oh, I got
the last time you played, I was like, dude, you beat that boss and you didn't even use your summon. You're like, I forgot I had a summon.
Yeah, forgot it was there.
So that's you know, I suggest you keep going because I think what Chris, you're doing fine. Like I don't know why you feel like you're not getting anywhere because you fucking have killed
it. And I think that is maybe more just the way the game is structured. And I think Tony probably agrees with this: is that like that narrative isn't like there's not like oh here's your XYZ steps.
Yes.
Like this is what you're getting to.
And it's The Legend of Zelda 1987. It's go do kill, like figure it out. Like it's not, and to me, I don't, you know me, I don't care about narrative in games. There is a narrative here. I couldn't tell you what the fuck it is because I just go by the vibes of, I think there was like something happened and something chattered, a ring chattered, and there's a bunch of gods fighting over who's in charge, and I'm this lowly tarnished. I'm like writing my own story in my head. But there is, like, you can look up, there is a fully fleshed out narrative of what this is about. And they do, I catch more every time I play, because they do these really cool intros to bosses. And they'll be like, there's this boss at the mid, not even the mid, but like one third point of the game. And I'll probably talk about him during the game of the year. He's like one of the coolest bosses ever. But they'll be like, you know, he's cursed to walk this land with a scarlet rot from millennia. And I'm like, oh, that, now I kind of know what they're talking about. Because I know what scarlet rot is, and I know who she is. And there's like people that were married, and they're fighting each other. Like, there's a story there. But I'm not the type of person that gives a fuck. So I'm like, I pick up on little pieces of it, and I just love the vibe of the game. I'm like, I just feel like I'm in this cool fantasy world, you know?
I think
clearly shit's going on. I don't exactly know or have to, like, I don't have to know what the story is to appreciate that there's, like, detail there and you know.
Hey, there's tons. I think visually, like, it looks really like they've done a great job of fleshing out the world. Just like, I want that thing that's like, this is your line, and like, you can veer off of it, and you might need to veer off of it, but like, here's your line. Here's the line, and like,
the line is Stormvale Castle, and then it's pretty clear. It's like a straight shot up north, kind of through the game, but there's like a million places to veer off, and there's like just dozens of completely optional levels and hidden, like shit that's like hidden. Like you're just like, I've played through the game, I think 9 times now, and it was like during the 8th time that Sean pointed out 2 entire levels that I somehow completely missed. But yeah, it's kind of like, it's kind of obvious just by looking at the art design of the game. Like you can kind of see that castle ahead. That's the first level, you know what I mean? But there's tons of stuff out to go explore otherwise. And once you get past that first castle, you're going to see the Magic Academy out in the water. You're like, okay, that's kind of where the next thing is. But yeah, there's like, it's very easy to just get lost and be like, but that's like, you kind of have to go get lost and have fun to get leveled up, you know? So anyways, I'm glad you're enjoying it, Chris. I hope you keep.
I am enjoying it more than I have other games of its ilk. Like,
they give you, I mean, just the summons alone is a huge thing. Like, it, if you're trying, you know, I got through the other games often by, you know, I had to summon somebody, especially if I was playing like on a melee class and these bosses are getting in my faces and stuff. Here it's like you always have something to distract the bosses with. That helps a ton, you know.
Yeah, just to like get, like pull some aggro off of you, yeah. So you can heal up. Or
I mean, that's basically all you do in co-op. Like if, you know, we co-op bosses together, it'd be like, hey, when he's looking at me, I'm dodging and rolling, and when he's looking at you, I'm attacking him at his back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the whole thing. And it's, I don't know, I think very fun. Anyways.
Yep.
We'll be talking a lot more about Elden Ring, I'm sure.
But, yes. Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to have to talk at least a little bit more.
Damn it. Damn it.
All right. So, 2022 happened. I don't know. It was a weird year for games, I think.
It was disappointingly thin. I kind of feel like after the last couple of years, which, you know, you get with the pandemic and you knew everything was going to slow down and it was going to, like, everyone was going to have to reframe themselves and figure out a new way to make games and all that. You kind of expected, like, to finally see the results of everything that they were working on in 2022, and it was still just as slow as the two previous years.
Yeah. Like specifically for Xbox, right? Nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, that's nothing. Not,
well, not I was informed that they released. But... Yeah, I was informed they released 4 or 5 games in the last 3 months or something like that I've never heard of. But I apparently tweeted out and people were like, no. They had stuff. You probably just didn't hear. I'm like, that doesn't count.
No, like they did not have anything of
no.
You know, yes, like
they had some major releases last year, like Forza Horizon 5, Age of Empires 4.
Yeah, 4.
Like there were actual right. There were actual like first party awesome releases from Microsoft, and there were none of those this year.
Yeah, I mean, like, what their biggest release was Pentiment, which was, like, it's by Obsidian, a big studio, yeah. Well known. Yeah. But, like, it was like a small team that put together this weird indie kind of role-playing narrative game that's not what you expect from the guys who made Fallout New Vegas. Like, I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not, like, it was not a mainstream game. What were the other ones, Earl? That
I wasn't even paying attention. I just know how the people were acting. They were these games, like, okay, I could look that up while you folks talk, but I was just like, yeah, and this is somebody who actively checks Game Pass for new releases. I didn't see anything that stood out, so
I mean, it was a good year for Game Pass, I think.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, great year for Game Pass. Absolutely.
It just wasn't from Microsoft.
No. I mean, Deathloop, I guess that counts, right? But that's a year old game.
Yeah. Does that count?
No. To me, it doesn't. Like, I guess, like, something, like, well, they did release something. Yeah, but they released a game that came out a year ago.
Okay, according to this.
A different system.
Grounded, and that's been an open...
Yep, so that's not a new game.
Age of Empires 4 Anniversary Edition? No, that's a... Sorry. Pentiment?
Pentiment, yep. That's the Obsidian one that we were just talking about.
Oh, As Dusk Falls? I guess they published that?
Okay. So that's a narrative adventure game. So not a big thing.
And the only other thing on here from 2022 is Forza Horizon Hot Wheels DLC.
So the biggest thing they released was a DLC pack for Horizon 5.
And they updated Halo. There was stuff.
Yes.
Barely.
Yes.
That took until what? When was the winter update? December 8th? It took almost a year for them to get some like actual content. In a game that was very good, but is a live service game, should have content coming out consistently. It was a very poor year, I think, for Microsoft.
You think?
Yes, I do. Nintendo a little bit better on their end. They started out pretty strong. Was it Pokemon Arceus?
Yes. I will say, I think that's the start of their year. I think they were much better through the end of the summer than they were at the end of the year. But, yeah, so Pokemon Legends Arceus, I think They had that. They had Kirby.
Kirby, yep.
Which I forget the subtitle of.
And where'd it go? Just lost it. Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
There we go. You know, then they had stuff like, you know, Mario Strikers Battle, Battle Strikers, which, and then Switch Sports, which were come and go. But I think, you know, like between then Xenoblade 3 and Splatoon 3, I think were really strong contenders. Bayonetta 3 came out with fanfare, but it seems like that was kind of a mixed bag. And Pokemon Violet and Scarlet seemed to have done well, but again, I've not played it, but it seems like fans, like, it's weird. It's like, it's a good game, but apparently it's messy, so
yeah, I kind of like, my kids have played it obsessively, like they love, I have one of them playing one version, one playing the other, which actually works out really well. If you have two children, when the two Pokemon games come out, you just buy one of each, you feel like you haven't bought the same game twice.
Yeah,
but which, they still have their own copy.
Trade, and they can trade with each other,
and,
right?
And that's what they've been Pokemon. Doing, so like they have all the Pokemon that they can't get.
Which is, I mean, which is the original intent. Granted, I feel like it's, I feel like it's gotten harder and harder to time to justify that with the internet.
See, I think we've discovered this is what Japan was trying to do with Pokemon. It's a state-sponsored game. They were trying to encourage couples to have two children because we know that Japan is having a demographic crisis. And Pokemon was their way of getting, like, you know, you need to make sure you have one child for each version of Pokemon. I've solved it. That's the government conspiracy. You've heard it right here on the Perfectly Sane Show. It's where it is.
Works for me. Yeah, so I got a decent year from Nintendo, and a I don't know, pretty good year from Sony, I think, at least in terms of big games.
I was going to say, is Horizon and this God of War, was there anything in between them?
Gran Turismo 7 was also
oh.
there. I think that actually came out before Horizon, though.
Which I feel like you don't hear, like, I've heard a lot about God of War. Horizon got so muted because it released the same time as Elden Ring that we didn't hear anything about it. And I haven't heard anything about Gran Turismo 7.
I didn't even know it came out.
Not until, you know, I had actually forgotten about it, but Walt had been playing it, and that was what jogged my mind that kind of came out this year. Let's see, Sony, Gran Turismo 7, oh, well, that, you know, MLB The Show, obviously. Okay.
Well, that's, year. You know, that's Sony Studios, but it's not even like, I don't even consider that a Sony game anymore, right?
No, it's everywhere. In September, they re-released that remake of The Last of Us Part 1. That was okay. a pretty big release.
Okay. Was it, though? Don't get me wrong. Last of Us is a huge franchise. It does well for them. I just meant, like, I completely forgot that release, and I feel like people were just over it because it's the third time it's been released in, what, 6 years? Well, second time it's been released, but
I guess it depends on like where you're talking with people, because like I didn't see any of us been like, oh, let's go get.
None of us adore that game to begin with. I kind of feel like
that's fair, but you know, as I'm part of like Resetter, and I didn't see a ton of discussion around it. Like the most I saw was like the graphical comparison, and it wasn't that different than the PS4 version.
And I feel like that's kind of the weird part. You're like, you're remaking a game that's so recent. Like,
yeah.
What are you adding to this game? If you're not adding like additional actual game content, like you're not making it longer, you're not adding additional areas, you're upgrading the graphics, and the graphic, like, there wasn't a huge jump between this generation and last generation graphics.
Yeah, what are you remaking for? That game looked good on the PS3. Like,
yeah.
I did hear some talk about it in September, and it could just be that, you know, it was a light September, right? Like there just wasn't a whole lot going on. It died pretty quickly, but I did hear some talk on it. The people that I heard talk about it said they liked it.
Okay. But yeah, okay,
I did not play it.
It was a pretty yes, in comparison, I would say it's probably Nintendo, Sony, Microsoft in terms of output this year. In terms of just like pure quality and quantity and stuff, I can't necessarily speak for the quality of it, I'm sure.
There weren't even really any stellar like PC only releases either. Like that's kind of like where is Civilization? Where like the PC only franchises did really poorly this year, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, and again, this is us. I'm sure there's people like, oh no, it was a fantastic year for X, Y, and Z. I can't believe you would even suggest it wasn't.
Like, I'm probably the biggest PC gamer of the four of us. And I'm like, where are my PC franchises? Where did they go? Like, I've been waiting for a couple of years now. They cut off development for Civilization VI. Like, where's Civ 7? Where did it go? Where are my big RTSs? Like Company of Heroes 3 dropped out of this year. Like, I want to know where these games are, and they just don't exist. There's just nothing out there.
I think like the biggest one that kind of like pops in my head will be Total War Warhammer 3.
Yeah, right? And like, even that had a really uneven launch. Like it clearly like it launched with significant pieces of it missing. Which for like the previous game had really leaned into this this world that involved like bringing in all of the factions from all the previous games, and that was promised for Total War Warhammer 3, and the game launched in February without that mode, and it took them 6 months to implement it, but technically that mode is still in beta, like they're still like building it, it's not finished yet. So I've played through a couple campaigns in that mode, and they're fine, but they're clearly like none of the cutscenes are there. The random event stuff that occurs clearly is not built out yet. The end game campaigns are random; they don't matter which faction you're playing, and they just kind of occur. It's not finished. While the game itself is fun, like there's still work to be done on it, and it saddens me.
So like in terms of AAA games, it felt kind of like a fairly light year. I mean, it was Elden Ring, Horizon, God of War. What else we got in there?
Call of Duty, that counts, right?
Call of Duty, like it's on my playlist. Like I have it sitting here. I need to get into it.
I had to step away for a second, so I don't know where the consensus is or where we're going here. But my thoughts on this year. I look at my top 10 list, and I like love 9 of these games. So I think overall for me, it ended up being a good year. But it was propped up by the third parties, and.
And I think that's what we were kind of set in on. It was kind of it's a terrible year for Microsoft. It was a good year for Sony. And I think it was a better year for Nintendo, but still, I think on the higher end of good, not necessarily great year for them.
Yeah. If you look at like Nintendo, like though, like what was the first, what was the first party stuff? Because like Bayonetta, yeah, they published it, but Platinum, right? Did most of the work on that. Well, Mario plus Rabbids, it's Ubisoft. Like, you know what I mean? So it's
like, no, but you had two Pokemon games. You had
even the main on those? I thought that was those.
No, they're the
primary. Right, I was gonna say
Game Freak is the developer, yeah, right? Like,
yeah. But I mean, it's a Nintendo. Like, I don't know who else would develop Pokemon games for that.
Sorry,
they are mainline. They are the next generation of Pokemon games.
They are. It might be okay to you, but it is still a massive.
No, I know.
And party franchise, and Kirby, and then Xenoblade, and Splatoon, Strikers,
which was, in my opinion, Splatoon.
Not
forgettable. Like it's just.
I don't. I think it's. I still pay it a ton, but I will also say I think because you pay as a single payer, The single player is fun, but I think the game is a multiplayer. It is. I mean, it's a multiplayer game with a single player add-on.
Yeah, and you know, I did play the multiplayer, but it didn't hook me in this time like it did the first two times.
That's fair. It's like the franchise shakes it up a ton. Like, this isn't that different from 2.
And that's this thing, like, if for first-party games, like, Nintendo kind of did the best. And even then, it felt, like, to me, it felt a little lacking.
But that's what we're saying. It's like, everybody had an outstanding game.
But I think overall, like, I like the games that came out. Like, the games that came out this year, like I said, there's, like, 8 of them I love, and one of them is the best game I've ever played. So I'm like, at the end of the day, 2022 was not terrible to me. Like, you know, like...
I didn't realize you were that big of Vampire Survivors, but...
I did love Vampire Survivors, not the best game I've ever played, but, you know, so, I don't know, this happens every year, where there's, like, these periods where you're, like, there's nothing coming out, and the fall did feel a little empty in a way, because it was just, like, was the big game? It was, like, well, there's God of War, and there's Call of Duty, I guess, like, I don't know, like... And I unfortunately didn't get to play God of War, so like I was missing that. But like I still got like that Call of Duty was a ton of fun. You know, I had the new Sonic game to play. Like I don't know about you, Earl. I thought the new Sonic game was really good for the most part. Like for Sonic, it was pretty surprising.
Yeah, I will. And I think what I was gonna say, and I think to your point, is I think the problem with this year. I don't think any part of the year really felt great. I think there was like one or two major games in a period. And like when you stretch that out over the year, like when you look at it as a whole, and I'm sure we will, you know, we talk about Game of the Year, there was a lot of really good to great games this year. But I feel like it's going to be like, it was like a handful that we had to spread out over 12 months instead of like, you know, like sometimes the end of the year is like your Game of the Year could just be what comes out in like the first 3 weeks of November.
Yeah, and again, every year has those, like, slow periods. Like, I don't know, like,
yeah,
I know...
the entire year.
I'm looking at this year, and I'm like, I know there's, like, games I'm like, this year looks brighter in terms of, like, more big stuff will hopefully actually come out this year, but, like, I'm like, what is the next big thing I'm really looking forward to? That's, Breath of the Wild 2, I know it has an actual name now.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah. And that's like late May. It's like almost halfway point, you know, and it, you know, so, but when the fuck is that Microsoft RPG, the...
It doesn't have a date yet, does it? Starfield?
Which one?
Starfield.
Yeah. No.
That's first, like late, first, late in the year.
Well, they said first half.
Oh, so, they did.
But it doesn't have a date yet, so...
No
date.
Yeah, so... Second half category.
And then part of it again, we denoted the pandemic before, but also I forgot who tweeted it this week, but somebody, one of the talking heads was like, if somebody was to put in like a major game into development right now, you're gonna have a game that's probably 5 or 6 years out, so it's probably for the next systems. And I do think that we are at a point where, and I could be totally wrong, that we are just not going to see a gluttony of like major releases constantly from all, because game development has just gotten to the point where it's no longer like you can have a 2-3 year turnaround on titles, even sequels. So you're going to see a lot of stuff coming out this year. When was it announced? They got not God of War. We've known about Breath of the Wild since 2020. We've known about Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League forever. Hogwarts Legacy, Starfield, we've known about for several years now. I think we've known about Starfield before this generation started.
Yes.
Redfall, we've known about for several years now. A lot of these games are stuff that was announced.
Fantasy 16 was announced, when we were children?
I think that might have been early pandemic day. Who knows? I mean, to be fair, the pandemic kind of throws it all together. But yeah, a lot of these games, Resident Evil 4 remake. I mean, it's a remake.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's like in March, right?
That's March 24th. Dead Space in January.
Yeah, I'm still like, maybe. I guess I didn't buy Callisto Protocol so I could
get that Dead Space.
Yeah, yeah, get Dead Space again, even though I think the first one still looks good. Like, I don't know, like, why I need this redone. That's how I felt about Resident Evil 4, and then, like, just looking at some of it, I'm like, it looks pretty cool.
At least with Resident Evil 4, I mean, Resident Evil 4 is almost a 20-year-old game.
Yeah, and
19 this year. It's been on like every console since then. But like,
Dead Space is 15 years
it's
old.
Close.
I was gonna say Dead Space is also an old game. So that, like, I guess comparing it to like something like The Last of Us Part One, where it's like the third.
Yeah, who gives? Who cares about that? But like, but you know, when I played Resident Evil 4, and I played that like 2 years ago, not last year, but the year before, like, you could tell it's what era it's from, but it's still pretty good looking. Like, yeah, it's not gonna look like a game that came out today, but still pretty good looking for what it is, and it plays great. And you know, I'm like, do I need an update to this? And I just love that game so much, and the remake does look really good, so I'm like, I'm getting it. So that's another one.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say we can table that because we can talk about 2022.
Oh, yeah. 2022.
Game Pass.
The year of Game Pass?
Kind of for me. Like, a lot of the games that hit my top 10 were Game Pass games or became Game Pass games.
I have to look here.
Yeah,
a couple of mine. Infernax and Tinykin were both Game Pass games.
Yeah.
And Vampire Survivors. Yeah, I don't. But yeah, hopefully, Game Pass sticks around. Tunic, Chris, is Tunic on your top 10?
No.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Number 33.
Are you numbered out everything you played?
Yeah, I just have a running list.
Whoa. Remember that game was like, shoot, that game, I remember that was like the first game after Elden Ring that was getting like this hype, and I liked it at first.
It becomes annoying.
Like that game to me, it has like, there's things about it that are promising. I think if they did a sequel, like, they could make it better, but like,
there's charm to it. For sure.
Yeah, but like it didn't, and I like that like mysterious type of game, but I was pretty annoyed by like the back half of it.
Yeah, it's just like we're gonna, especially like you get that purple area or pink area where it's just like everything is hitting your, it's just eating your health.
Permanently, they stole one of the worst things from Dark Souls. The first Dark Souls, those frogs that could permanently deplete your fucking health.
Yeah.
That shit sucks.
Like that's like a level too where it's like, you don't need to add this because getting hit once or twice in this game anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty tough to begin with. Like, you didn't. Yeah. I just didn't think it was as amazing as people were saying. I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's. It's okay. It had neat things.
Power Wash Simulator. That was a game.
Yeah.
Game of the year. Future Game of the Year winner.
Right there.
It cracked my top 10.
Okay. I mean, Shredder's Revenge.
Another Game Pass game, yes.
Is that people's top 10s?
Yeah,
that is not going my top 10. It's not number one. I mean, I have complete. I'm not hitting the fact that I own the game. I bought the game. I have it on Game Pass. I have it on Switch, and then I bought the special edition.
All the shit. The
I also bought the soundtrack on vinyl. So I would also say that I'm totally impartial and not obsessed with Ninja Turtles at all. So, you know,
I really like that game. I know, Jeff, you did not like it quite as much as us.
I thought it was it was good at doing what it was trying to do. I just don't think that type of game is like
game of the year.
No, I just think that type of game is like dead for a reason. Like, or
but it's not dead.
Mostly dead for a reason. Like, that was one of like the three types of games you would get back in the day. It's like the brawler, the action game. Like,
I think Rogue was that you. I mean, because I mean, Ninja Turtles you can beat in like 2 hours if that. But I think the thing is, it's like nobody ever figured out how to keep it, like make it. I mean, that's not true. Dynasty Wars is essentially an evolution of that that formula.
They kept it fresh enough that I was like, why would I want to get the collection when I got this new one that's better?
That plays better than all of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still got
it. Yeah. Like, you did. Yeah. Like, and I'm not saying I won't get the collection someday, but like if it's cheap or something, like, and I have memories of those games, right? But like, to me, I was like, well, I just played Shredder's Revenge, which distilled what I liked about, like, what I remembered about that era and those games into, like, it was, like, a really good homage to it while doing, like, little things to keep it fresh, right? I was like, then I guess I don't really need six other games or whatever from, like, you know, back in the day. But, all right, well, I don't know.
Nobody Saves the World was a Game Pass game. Yeah, a game that Earl liked a lot.
That's also my list. A ton of fun, and yes, I think a game that I would not have paid if it was not on Game Pass. Yes, I do think maybe that should be a category. I guess
game of the year.
I was gonna say Discovery, not because I feel like Game
Pass
is bad,
biggest Game Pass boost, like game that wouldn't have gotten noticed.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I would say Discovery, because I do think there are games on Game Pass that are going to be on, and there are games on Game Pass that I would have bought, but they were on Game Pass.
And then there's games that caught on beyond just this podcast that maybe not would have if they weren't on there, you know?
Yeah. And that is pretty fair. Like, I mean, it's sometimes easy to be like, oh, I mean, this is what I do with my friends. It's like, oh, that's fine. Like, we want to find a game to play together. Go through the app. Like, what's online co-op? And I played a ton of games that way. I played one that we can talk about, if I remember, in a couple of weeks that I just tried out that I think is a ton of fun that I would not have thought of. I mean, it's a virtual escape room, but it's a ton of fun. So
The Escape Academy?
Yes.
I wanted to try that.
Yeah. And playing a call with a friend. It's like a game. I'm like, what can we play next that we finished? I forget what we were playing. Like, yeah, this seems fun. And it is. It's a bunch of little, it's a, you know, escape room for the story. A game that was cute to me, but I don't know if it would make my game of the year. Is Paparazzi.
Yeah.
Which is also a game that I discovered because it's on Game Pass.
It's like a Pokemon Snap type game.
Yeah.
A little bit, maybe.
Where you take pictures of puppies and like you get them to do stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much Pokemon Snap, except you're not on rails. You are free to roam around and do whatever.
Yeah, the level that's there. Yeah.
I played this so much. I completely forgot this was out this year, so this will go on my list. Rainbow Six Extraction. That's the one.
Honestly, forgot that game came out.
I did not realize it came out this year. I'm looking at the list and like, I double check. I'm like, this has to, this was the, nope, it came out in January. And that was a ton of fun. It's different, but it was a ton of fun.
Anything else jump out at you guys over the course of the year?
I was just going through the month, looking at what was in January. I don't think any of us are probably default people.
I liked the first one. I didn't play any of the others.
No, at some point I should try them. Because they make good games. I just never... It's not my jam.
It's another one, like... those games... And it's like the same with Persona, right? Like Persona 5. It's like a 100-hour game. Like, I'm sure it's great.
It's just too much.
And I'm sure I'd like it. But yeah, I don't have... It's just not how I play games right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's so much harder when you get older too. And you got kids, so I'm just complaining because I'm tired and cranky most of the time I get home from work. So,
how dare you?
how dare I indeed. This just needs to, maybe we'll have a category for that game that died this year. Because I forgot Babylon Falls came out this year. So I don't think it's dead yet. It's going to die.
Yeah, I forgot that even, like, that was a year long, right? That was a big thing earlier in the year. It was like,
I don't know if it was a big thing, but it was a thing.
Well, it was pretty big in the fact that GameStop, right? That's the store.
Yeah.
Weren't they just giving them away, like the copies they had?
Oh, yes, because I think when they announced the servers were closed, they're like, we can't sell this anymore because it closed this down in, I think, like March. So they just had to give away the copies, and then I don't know if people took them because you can't play it anymore after.
Yeah.
That also reminds me, I don't necessarily know if it's, I don't think it died, but for a game I thought was kind of relatively hyped up when it was announced, Ghostwire Tokyo just kind of came out.
Yeah. I guess we'll see that next year. You know, if you're waiting for Game Pass, we'll see that.
Yeah, it's just so weird. I remember when that was announced, and it was like, oh, because I mean, it also creative director was just one of the reasons people were excited for it and stuff, and then it just kind of disappeared off the radars. But I keep on forgetting it came out this year. What were you going to say, Jeff?
No, I was like, oh yeah, I remember hearing about this game, and then didn't hear anything about it after it came out.
Yeah, pretty much. I forgot Triangle Strategy came out this year. I'm just funny. That's why I like doing this. It's like funny going through and being like, oh yeah, that thing, I mean, it has its fans. I don't think any of us are fans of it.
It was one thing that I think I've brought up before. It's like, you see all these games at E3 and shit, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm excited for that. It's like, yeah, you think you are, but then when it actually comes out, you're like, half of them just like, Redfall could be nothing, dude. It could be,
yeah. The only reason I'm excited for it is because I want to fill that Borderlands niche. But I feel like when they showed the gameplay of it now, it doesn't look as appealing as it did when they announced it. It's kind of like, oh god,
what was that co-op shooter? It was like 4-player co-op shooter. Everyone was like looking forward to, like, I don't know if it was last spring or the spring before, and then it came the Game Pass right away, and everyone was like, oh yeah,
Back for Blood.
I think there was another one too.
You might be thinking about Outriders.
Outriders. Everyone's like, yeah, it's gonna be something. And then it came out, it's like, yeah, no one gives a fuck.
Oh no, but the game was actually fun. It was just buggy as hell. I enjoyed it.
But it's just like, there's these things that like kind of fizzle, like when come out. You know, like you thought that's gonna be something. That's like another thing you gotta remember, is like the stuff that you think is gonna be big. Like there's things that you know, like Starfield, that's gonna be big. Zelda, that's gonna be big, but like some of the other stuff, it's like you hope maybe.
Company Heroes 3. I hope it's big.
One?
Company Heroes 3.
Strategy.
No one's heard of that. No one's heard of those games.
But if you play on PC, it's a pretty strategy game. Yeah,
it's pretty big on PC. It's that it's that thing that you push the on button.
Yeah,
it lights up another screen.
Usually not for me.
Squad based tactical RTS type thing. It's fun.
Yes. It should have filled the border. Tiny Wonderland. I forgot that. I think part of it is
that was good.
I'm sure it was good. I think what got me was I was just over it after that Summer Game Fest, where it was like every panel that summer added, and I just like, I didn't want to hear anything about it.
I heard it was good, but I'm sick of that world, and I don't like Randy Pitchford's
face. Yeah, I think that's it. Like, I would love to support, like, I don't know. I kind of enjoy games like that. I just can't stand him at all.
Yeah.
Like, not even a little bit.
Not a big fan of him.
Play Redfall. Fills that void, because like Back for Blood didn't do it.
Yeah,
well, Back for Blood was supposed to throw you up a dead void.
Back for Blood felt like a sure bet to me.
Yes, it felt like, okay, we got our Left 4 Dead game. It's gonna be fun, and it was not.
Yeah, the guys that made Left 4 Dead are making Left 4 Dead. Oh fuck yeah! And I never played it, so I don't know what the problem was with it.
The problem was that you know, there's always that thing where you were talking about previously, like the death of like arcade beat 'em ups, and part of what I was saying is that nobody really understood how to expand that out beyond like 2 or 3 hours because they're very simple games.
And I think Left 4 Dead is what you did. Sorry.
And I think Left 4 Dead was the same issue. Left 4 Dead is a very simple, basic game, and they tried to complicate it with the card system and, you know, like the guns upgrade. And like the characters have different stats, and it's like, no, Left 4 Dead, you picked your favorite character. They all pretty much started off the same. There was no like, this person's faster, this person holds more weapons. There's no card system. There was no like, oh, this time you have to like do it in the dark. You can't make any noise. You can't be. It's like those. I get it. I feel like that's an extra mode. I feel like that shouldn't have been the basic mode of it. And I think the fact that it was. Oddly enough, I think the fact that it was a campaign that you had to go through continuously, where Left 4 Dead, like you had those stages, but it's like it was broken up into those kind of sections where, like, No Mercy was like its own like 3 or 4 rooms, and you could finish that, and that would be the end of it instead of like this 5-chapter campaign, and if you didn't beat it in one run, you have to start over again.
Yeah, like
they added that weird roguelike element to it, where it's like, all right, your run's done.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it was not great. I completely forgot. Like, we can, I want to have a what died in 2022 category. Because I forgot Stadia was announced dead as well.
Oh, God. R.I.P.
What died?
Googling what died in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, because you got Babylon Falls, you got Stadia.
Betty White.
Well, no, I hate that. We got Ghostwire Tokyo. I'm sure there's other stuff that will come up as we. I'm sure there was other things that had their servers knocked off. I guess if you want to say, I think the Wii U and the 3DS eShops were announced. Were they announced last year? I know they're going.
I think it was this year.
Because I know they're done in March.
They're dying.
Yeah. This year. Yeah. What else was out this year? I'm just kind of going through this real quick to see if the House of the Dead remake, which did not do anything.
No, I remember like hearing, oh, that's coming out, and then nothing.
Yep, because I think it was the same people, and I think it's the same arc that the Panzer Dragoon remake went through, where it's like, oh, they're remaking this. Oh, this is not great.
Is it bad, that Panzer Dragoon one or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it came out and it's like it just like it disappears. I've not played. I have not played this. Evil Dead the game came out this year. I've heard nothing but good stuff about it.
Yeah, I heard it was good. Yeah.
Especially if fans of Friday the 13th, which I adore.
I love that game. Love it. We should have played some Ghostbusters. That happened this year, sort of.
Oh, right. Yeah, why didn't we play that? We had, like,
I don't know.
We could all play
together. Fine. Dude, yeah, I finally deleted it.
That's the only one that played it.
I'm like, these guys ain't going to play it. I guess they don't want to play their free.
I mean, it's there. I can play it.
Yeah, I just forgot about that.
I mean, I'll reinstall it. Like, I have definitely installed it, but I'm pretty sure I deleted it.
It was kind of neat, but, you know, I have, Call of Duty, which is a little better.
Call of Duty and also takes up like 120 gigabytes.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's like, and I always have to have like the new Call of Duty on there because that's like, to me, that's like the premier like shooter, like multiplayer. Like
that's the game we should all play. I've installed it. I bought this one.
Let's play, man. I was playing last night.
How often, Jeff, do you actually convince me to play something based on your enthusiasm? And the answer is hardly ever. But this one I bought, and I bought mostly because you liked it so much. I'm like, that sounds really good. I'm going to try that because Jeff likes it so much.
I mean, I should remind you that the last like 4 years I've liked some, so I don't know.
No. I think this year you had an extra degree of enthusiasm.
A little bit, yeah.
So we're gonna give this a shot. We're gonna play.
The multiplayer maps on this one are just like fucking awesome, dude. Like they're so like memorable. Like they stick out in your mind. Like you know where like the choke points are. You know like where people are gonna converge or whatever. You know what I mean? Like I was playing. Did you guys see the fucking video I posted last night of me fucking around with the shield? I was like stalking these two guys, man, for like fucking 30 seconds. Just like, it was awesome, dude. If you haven't seen it, go look through my Twitter. It's awesome. But like, yeah, there's like, I'd say most of the maps on that new one are like really, really excellent. And I thought the campaign was like, I guess a lot of it was rehash shit from other Modern Warfare's, but fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like other call, like not even Modern Warfare, but all of other Call of Duty games.
I've played them all, but it just all kind of blends together. But like, you know, there's shit in this that was like, I don't know, super memorable to me about the campaign.
Well, plus, I mean, it's been so long since I played a Call of Duty game, because they got also samey, so I'm like, I'm not going to play these anymore. So now it's been like 4 years or something. Maybe it'll be
nice. I think this one rocks. I think you guys should all play it. We should all go.
That could happen.
Let's do it.
The Query came out this year, and they also had another game, and that the final game, the anthology, the title was
The Devil in Me.
Okay, there we go.
I really like The Query. I have not played The Devil in Me yet.
I have not played either. I bought The Query. Wait, do I own The Query? I might own it. I have to look through my games to see what I bought this year that I haven't opened. And not open it, just look at it to make sure that I did buy it. Let me see.
Played halfway through The Query.
Oh, wait, no, I have Tiny Tina's Wonderland. I should pay that then. Why do I have... I did not remember I bought that. I will start that this weekend. Yeah, okay.
You said you played halfway through The Query, Jeff?
Yeah. I need to get back to it.
It's
good. It's good. It's just you know, thing about a movie is it's 2 hours, and this feels like an 8 hour, 2 hour movie. You know.
Yes, like you're.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit more, like, because you're, you know, I have fun exploring the set, which when they let you kind of like walk around, like you're exploring the camp and stuff. Like, I think that's kind of neat. But yeah, it is. It's. I think the problem is, though, if you played any of the Dark Picture stuff, which are shorter than The Quarry and Until Dawn, is that they don't, for whatever reason, they can't seem to hit the same highs.
Yeah.
They need the longer runtime for some reason.
I have, like, no problem with The Quarry. Like, for that type of game, it's got, like, really good talent, like, the cast, like...
Yeah.
And it's totally in my genre, like it's in my wheelhouse, but I think I just fell off it because like I just get so bored playing that type of game. Like I'm just like, I don't want to watch a movie, I want to play a game, and it's just so slow and like repetitive my problem is when they let you walk around, and this is the thing I hate about these type of games. When they let you walk around, you walk so fucking slow, dude.
Yeah.
Can I just... I understand. This is not an action game. This is like... This is a narrative. But like... Can I walk like maybe a little bit faster? Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, and that, like, that makes me more bored. Because I'm like...
Oh, you gotta methodically walk through. Like, yeah.
So slow. But like, no. And I'm not saying... Because at... For its genre, like it was really good so far. Like, I think that game has like a really good hook in the first like scene or scenario. Okay,
great open
where Ted Raimi shows up as the cop. Like, you're just like, oh, what is going on here? Like, you're like super into like what's going on. And then like again, I'm only like halfway through. I'm like really wondering what's going on with David Arquette and all that. But like, I you know what happened. Chris, is that game of the year Atari 50 came out, and I was like,
I'm going to play this.
Yeah, and I never went back to The Quarry.
Could happen.
Yeah.
You see anything else, Earl?
I don't know. I don't know if this counts, but just to kind of put it out there, the Portal Companion Edition that dropped on the Switch in June?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, more Portal is always good. I mean, it was just one and two bundled, but more Portal is always good. always good. I don't think any of us are Room Factory Escape Academy, like I mentioned, that might we did touch on Power Wash Simulator, just because I think I might. Never mind. I was gonna be Shredder's Revenge. Let's say we should have a category for best licensed game, but that would definitely be Shredder's Revenge. Oh, did anybody pay Stray?
Yes, it's fine.
Which one?
The Stray. One about the cyberpunk cat. Oh,
yeah.
The cat with the robot TV robot guys.
You guys are like.
It's a fun little puzzle solver game.
Yeah.
You know. It's fine.
It's on your list there, Tony.
No, it's not on my list.
Working on your list? No. Wow.
My list is already done. It's done.
Somebody's used their time off well.
That's right.
Did you play, speaking of Stray, I'm looking at the Wikipedia list here, right underneath it was Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance 2. Did you play any of that?
Yeah, I played all of it. Oh yeah, I liked it a lot. I think I went and played Dark Alliance 1 again. I just put it on easy and...
Played through it again.
Those games, they need the second player to feel right and normal, so I just put them on easy and fun. They're cool.
You know what they need is Baldur's Gate 3 without the Dark Alliance part.
Yeah, well, I guess they're doing that, right?
It's in early access. The full game releases supposed to be 2023. Fingers crossed.
I hear the D&D people are cutting down on stuff now, so we'll see.
Has to be nearing completion.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, that game's almost finished. There's no way.
I still don't know how to say this. If I
I think it's live alive.
Live alive. Live alive. Fucking whatever. The greatest game ever made.
Yeah, it's a hidden gem.
A little mixed.
Yeah.
Some people
how people were like so excited for that.
I think people were excited for it coming out. But yes, it's kind of one of those. I do think people played it, but I mean, it was probably a game that was going to cater to like 5 people.
Yes.
It is. What it is.
Tony reminded me of one thing, though. One very big thing about 2023. Diablo 3. Or Diablo 4. Diablo 4, baby.
Diablo 3, the game that's been out for a decade. Finally play it again.
When he was talking about Baldur's Gate, I was like, I need another game like that. Oh, yeah! Baldur's Gate. Yeah,
the biggest of them.
Diablo. Diablo fucking 4, baby. That's going to be great.
I mean, it might be on my list somewhere. I don't, Multiverses was this year.
Oh yeah, that came out this year.
And that was one that I feel like it was like Nickelodeon, where it's like it came out very hot and heavy, and people were like, "Oh, this is like this thing." So, and I enjoyed it. It does so much, and then I feel like it just kind of died down really quickly after.
Yeah, like I think the last I heard about it was like October. When they released like Stripe?
Yes, and I think
Beetlejuice.
And the thing is, there's a ton of, but I feel like their issue is really they don't know how to promote characters. Like things just come out and like, yeah, so and so's in the game. Like, okay, but that came out. Rumbleverse came out this year. Similar concept. I think that was more 3D.
Brawler battle royale, so there's no guns.
Chris's favorite game, Saints Row.
So it launched kind of broken, and then it took them like over a month to even get the first patch out. So I have not gotten to it yet. It's there, it's installed. I just have not gotten to it. It's a shame.
I am sure it's a big shame, a massive shame.
I paid for it. It's a shame for me.
Oh, Jeff already mentioned his tiny kin. We mentioned that in part one. There go brawls happen. I completely missed that.
Yeah, I don't think that reviewed very well. Metacritic on PS5, 46 out of 100.
Ooh.
That's decent. It's almost halfway.
almost halfway. Almost. So it's almost a feeling, is to say.
Yeah. That's generally unfavorable reviews is what it says.
Generally. As opposed to the people who are like, ooh, 5 out of 10. This game is awesome.
Metacritic listed it as the 5th worst game of 2022.
What were the first 4?
I don't know. I should try to see if I can find that.
Elden Ring?
You're just trying to trigger Jeff.
All right, 10 worst games of... Oh, wow, these are some weird ones. All right, let's see. Yeah, almost there. I hate how they do this. It's like one game on each page.
Yeah. They gotta
Blade
get those
Runner pictures. Enhanced Edition, number 10. Number 9, Kamawaza, Way of the Thief. Never heard of that. The Waylanders. The Last Orichru. Zorro the Chronicles.
I just assume you're making these up at this point.
Lego Brawls.
Okay.
Zell, which on Switch. It's a, I guess it was a, kind of like a Zelda type game. Babylon's Fall. Did that come out this year?
It did come out this year.
Did come out this year, and then they would, like,
it died within the next 6 months.
Right. Crossfire X.
Crossfire.
And yeah. Postal 4, No Regrets, worst game of the year.
They're still making Postal games?
Yes.
That is impressive.
I did not know that either. Girl, I'm just laughing.
Okay. I think none of us have played this. Gotham Knights came out this year.
Nope. Another game I have, but did not get to
it. I was going to buy it, and I think one of you, I might have been one who was like, it's going to be on Game Pass at some point. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to wait for it on Game Pass.
Yes. See, I think like we were like right there, and you were like, in fact, I think you're the one that gave me, like, told me where the deal was.
Yes.
So I bought the deal, and then Walt convinced you to not buy it. And like, oh, I'll just wait, I guess. But I own it now. So yes. Whenever you finally do get to it, Earl, we can play.
Yes. I would have got, because Midnight Sun was only like $45. I feel like that's a game that can go down to 30. Because if you're $45 and that's in a month, 30 is like right there.
Yeah. It'll be there.
Bayonetta 3, I don't think any of us played.
Jeff did. Jeff played it.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah.
That's all he's got. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I did that.
It happened. Yeah. It occurred.
Harvest, Sonic Frontiers, God of War Ragnarok. I'm sure those games will get a say. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for the year.
There was that Need for Speed game.
The biggest Need for Speed. Yeah. That's totally.
I'll tell you what, man.
Oh, right. Sorry, Midnight Sun as well, and the Callisto Protocol, which none of you.
Yeah. Oh, I played that. Bad, not great.
I just didn't play too. Bannerlord, come on. Bannerlord needs to make the list somewhere.
Oh yeah, that did come out, right? Came out of early access, right?
What is that exactly? Because I almost bought that the other day. What is? Tell me.
I don't think it's a you game.
Yeah, I don't know that you would enjoy this game, but it's basically an action RPG / strategy game.
Like ActRaiser. It's ActRaiser.
You like walk around and I don't know. It's hard. You're in like a medieval world, and you basically go out and you fight bandits and you grow an army, and eventually you become a vassal of a king, and you can decide to form your own kingdom, and you run the kingdom, and you can also go out and fight battles and fight sieges. And
I don't know, man, like there's part of me I was like, I should play that.
It's enjoyable. You spend a lot of the game just like walking around swinging your sword and killing shit. The strategy game parts of the game are a bit milder. Less to the experience. It's fun. I enjoy it. I don't know how much you would get out of it personally, Jeff, but I like it a lot.
I saw it on sale and I almost did it because I remember I seen Sean talk about it a lot.
Yeah, Sean really likes it.
And it sounds, again, like it sounds like a weird comparison, like ActRaiser to me, where you're doing the high level stuff and the ground level stuff.
One of the cooler things, and I've never played a game that did another series that did this, is like you sit in the middle of like a medieval battle and you're like in command, but you're also like fighting on the field.
The grunts. Like, yeah. Like that. I like that idea. I do. Yeah. Like, yeah. So,
yeah. Mm. One of the cooler things, like I love in that game, you'll get like I normally ride a horse around and you can order your troops to follow you, and like, literally leading a charge on horseback with like a ton of guys behind you, and you feel all the horses behind you. It's just, it's really cool. That there's this scene in the third Lord of the Rings movies, the charge at the end where the guys are all on horseback, and they're like charging through the orcs and like slashing left and right, and they're like surrounded by enemies and charging really fast. And you could do that in this game, and it feels really cool. I've never played another game where you get to do that. So.
Maybe one day,
possibly, Jeff.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me for that game to appear on Game Pass a year from now either. So,
well, that's 2022. Oh, I guess we didn't talk about High on Life. That was like the last big game that kind of released right of the year.
I meant to mention that.
I'm not sure it was big, but
it was, wasn't it? It was a huge.
It was a big like Xbox for a game weekend. because it came out the 13th. It was like, you know, big for a week or whatever. But
my opinion on that game is,
oh, that's that really trippy shooter, right?
Yeah,
and the talking gun.
I like hesitate to give like a final opinion on this game, but like I played through the first two levels, I want to say, and I was like, I don't know. To me, like, the humor's like trying too hard. I don't know how to explain that. Like, if does anyone else played this game? Am I the only one?
I think you're the only one. I thought about installing it. Like, I saw the trailers for it, and I was like, the humor just was not grasping me. And if that gun talks nonstop.
That's kind of the thing. That's kind of the thing.
Yeah, I think that was the hook.
Yeah, and I'm not opposed to that, but I'm just like, it's, you know, I am the most curse-heavy person ever, and but everything's just fucking everything is shock value, but, like, I'm fine with that. Like, some of that is kind of my type of humor, but I feel like you need more propping it up. And to me, like, the game's just like, okay. Like, it's not, like, bad or anything, but, like, it's just, like, I'm so lukewarm on it. And I'm like, I don't know. And I love, like, that game included 4 horror movies that you could watch totally in the game. Which I think is really cool. And they're like obscure horror movies like Tammy and the T-Rex and Demon Wind and stuff like that, which I think is really neat. I think you can watch Demon Wind with the guys from Red Letter Media talking over it, like Mystery Science Theater type thing. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff, I'm like, that's awesome. Yeah, that's like, neat. That's like, so got me to download your game, but like playing the game itself it's not like a bad shooter, like for what, like, you know, single player, like kind of shooter, and has really cool visuals, but there's nothing like grabbing me about it. And like the humor to me is just kind of, it's just like, aren't we shocking? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. You can't shock me. Like, you can say anything to me, it's not going to shock me. And so I feel like I should give it more of a chance. I feel like I'm writing it off a little earlier, but I did walk away from it a couple of weeks ago now. So we'll see. I thought least Chris had downloaded it or played it, but
if Walt played some of it. I thought about downloading it.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's,
actually,
it's,
Sean played some of it too, I think.
It's not like terrible or anything, but it just did grab me. I expected it to grab me because of how, to me, like, I like games that are like really colorful, and that game is. But,
yeah.
Something about the gun and the constant humor in your face. Like you said, the gun talking to you, it's like it's constantly in your face with the fucking humor, and it's like, I think a little less is more. Like, I could have gone for the same type of humor and done the same thing, but maybe a little less is more type thing. I don't know.
Well, because then it would allow it to hit, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. Otherwise, it's just overload, and you're just desensitized to their jokes at some point.
That's kind of how I felt about it. Like, it's just like, I'm not opposed to this type of humor, but not super funny, and you're like, barraging me with it or something. Like, anyways,
that I think is, like, I don't think we played anything else that came out the last 17 days.
I'm sure there's stuff we played, but yes, we will.
Oh yeah, I'm sure there's other games for sure. I'm kind of interested in this Choo Choo Charles game. I've seen some people posting up about that. It's like a horror game with a, it's like Thomas the Tank Engine, but it's a Choo Choo Charles, and he's like a spider train. Looks nightmarish.
That's like that Disney fucking AI.
Oh, that was also a game we didn't. I don't think I ever played that. The Disney Dreamlight game.
I played it. That was good. It was good, but like, man, I just did not play enough of it to. It's well made. It really is. Like, it's so weird. Like, I couldn't get into that. Like,
it's a really good Animal Crossing type game, but it just didn't hook you.
Since it's not Animal Crossing, it doesn't matter. Even though I love Disney, it's really weird. I probably put, you know, 10 hours into it, but I just, like, you know, that's a game that, like, you gotta play. Like, I think Sean played a lot of it. I think Sean, like, got really deep into it, and I don't blame him. It's a totally fine game, totally good. Like, it was awesome how it had like missions and stuff to do, like, kept you like busy. But I think it got lost in a shuffle with me playing other games or something, or just watching movies at the time.
Fair enough. All right. Well, next week we will.
Oh, God.
Game of the year.
Oh, God.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
Jeff's not sure how this is gonna go down, so.
It'll be fine, Jeff. It'll be fine.
Just a tip.
That's right.
You got this. We believe in you, bud. We believe in you.
But we will reconvene with that next week. And kind of, we have some of our categories. We're starting to flesh out the nominations right now. We're going to have all that next week, depending upon how that goes. That may be a two-part episode. We'll see. So, we'll be back for that next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Put your foolish ambitions to rest.
That works too.
Wow.